From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Theo, August 9th. The Systems Update. 5 tech stories that bear on what's coming next. Let's get into it. First, from Hackaday. Tracking bees with a stereo camera. For whatever reason, Jeremy wants to photograph bees in flight. This is one of those things that doesn't seem that hard until you try to do it. He's got the mechanical part that can move the camera as fast as the bee flies. But you still have to point the camera correctly. He considered quite a few methods of acquiring and tracking the bee, but he finally settled on a stereo camera. His requirements also made the camera design challenging. In particular, the bees move fast enough that things like USB transmission times become significant. You can see his solution in the video below. Next. Second, from XDA developers. Microsoft accidentally rolled out a OneDrive app to everyone's PCs, and there's no simple way to fix it. As big as Microsoft is, it can make mistakes sometimes. Recently, people noticed that Windows 11 had installed a new OneDrive app on their PCs, even if they didn't ask for it. Worst of all, the app arrived on enterprise PCs, which don't have the right permissions to even open it. Well, it turns out that Microsoft had slipped up and pushed it out too far, too quickly. Up next, third, from Slashdot. Google should still be forced to shed Chrome, advocacy group argues. Google's latest antitrust fight is about more than just search. Public knowledge is pushing the court to force Google to spin off Chrome, arguing that the browser's privacy choices are too tangled with Google's ad business. The appeal follows a 2025 district court order that already bars exclusive deals for Search, Chrome, Assistant, and Gemini, while still letting Google pay Apple and Mozilla for default placement. Public knowledge says an independent Chrome could set tracking rules without the conflict of profit-driven advertising. Mozilla, meanwhile, warns that losing Google's payments could push Firefox out of the browser market entirely. The appellate court will hear new arguments from Google next month. And then, fourth, from Daring Fireball. Retraction. The App Store. Rejection of the week that was, in fact, a correct rejection. I've got a story to tell you, and it's a doozy. So, you know how I wrote that article about Apple rejecting an app called Dark Hours? Well, it turns out that was a total fabrication. The guy who created the app, Terry Gaudier, actually submitted it under a different name, Astrally, and it was an astrology app, not an astronomy app like I claimed. He even had a tarot card of the day feature, which I thought was just a joke. But here's the thing. Apple's rejection of the app was actually correct. Gaudier had submitted an astrology app, and it didn't meet Apple's guidelines. I was misled by Gaudier's public statements and private messages, and I ended up writing a whole article about how Apple was wrong to reject the app. It was a huge mistake, and I'm really sorry for it. It gets even messier. Gaudier had launched a new version of the app on the web, also called Dark Hours, and it had a major bug that routed people to random fields in Mexico. Another developer, Miguel Beher, pointed out the bug, and Gaudier ended up taking down the app and redirecting the domain to Beher's version. The whole thing is a huge embarrassment for me, and I'm just glad I could correct the record and apologize for my mistake. Next. Fifth, from Emerging AI, Memory Engineering, the system that gives your AI a past. I've been thinking about why today's AI agents forget everything once you close the window. They can solve a tricky bug, patch the code, run the tests, and then the next morning they stumble over the same issue because the lesson never got stored anywhere. The trick isn't just dumping the whole conversation into context. Models actually get worse when they have to reread everything. What matters is a tiny targeted memory that knows which insight to keep and which noise to discard. Memory engineering builds that layer. It decides what to retain, how to retrieve the right piece at the right time, and when to safely prune old data. By teaching the agent to update its own memory, you cut down token waste and stop it from repeating mistakes. The guide walks you through the 4 memory types an agent needs, the tools for vectors, graphs, and MCP, plus concrete prompts and commands. By the end, you'll have a system that carries experience across sessions so the AI starts each new chat with the right context instead of a blank slate. Up next. Sixth, from OMG Ubuntu. Orion for Linux beta updated with private browsing and Kaggy has released a new Linux beta of Orion, its GTK WebKit-based web browser. The V0.4.1 beta builds on the V0.3.0 public beta release in March, with more features available on its macOS and iOS versions. Private windows, a working, if still bare bones, download manager, and an overflow menu on the toolbar, which you can use to keep buttons out of sight without making them inaccessible, are present and functional in this beta. Orion's link preview feature also makes its debut on Linux. This does what it says, previews link, not the AI summary sort, thankfully. And then, seventh, from Abijay Vuyuru, how to get Claude code for free with almost unlimited usage, the complete setup guide. I am sure a lot of you would have seen that dreaded message from Claude. Weekly limit hit, wait till 3 a.m. for your limits to reset, and your task was 99% done. But now you need to wait hours or sometimes even days to finish that task. What if another model could finish that task for you? It is not necessary that Claude's strongest model work on the entire task from end to end. In fact, I wrote an entire article on why, for example, you should use Fable 5 to actually write the skills, but then get the not-so-strong models like Opus 5 to execute on it for efficient token usage. Next. Eighth. From Rich on Tech. Hotel Wi-Fi warning, delete your data for free, and ask YouTube's hidden AI search. 186, August 8, 2026. So I was digging into this hotel Wi-Fi thing, and it turns out hackers linked to Russia are targeting login systems, redirecting users to fake update or security pages. They're trying to get people to download malware or give up sensitive info. It's not just any old phishing scam. These fake pages are designed to look super legit, like they're from the hotel itself. The attackers are using a technique called man in the middle to intercept login credentials and other data. It's not just hotel guests who are at risk either. Conference attendees and even staff are getting hit too. The hackers are using this to steal credit card numbers, login info, and other sensitive data. The thing that's really got me thinking is that these attacks are often going to be pretty hard to detect. The fake pages are designed to look like they're from the hotel, so people might not even realize they're being targeted. And because the attacks are happening on the hotel's own Wi-Fi network, it's not like users can just blame it on a public hotspot. I'm curious to see how hotels respond to this. Are they going to start taking security more seriously, or are we going to see more of the same old, we're sorry, not sorry attitude? It's also got me thinking about how we can protect ourselves when we're traveling. Do we just assume that all public Wi-Fi is a risk? Or is there a way to stay safe without giving up our freedom to roam? Up next, ninth, from Hackaday, high-density parchment paper. Papertronics, with laser-carved hydrophilic channels. Paper as a substrate for electronic circuits is not very common, but promising for flexible circuits with low cost and easy recyclability. That said, paper is not an easy material to work with when printing traces, as the cellulose material is both absorbent and irregular, limiting the resolution and accuracy of so-called papertronics. Even when using higher quality paper with wax-based masks, this resulted in poor resolution issues, so Zara Rafii et al. Opted to approach the problem from the other direction by using hydrophobic parchment paper as the base combined with a laser. And then, 10th, from CNET News. Today's NYT Connections Hints and Answers for Aug 9, Number 11, 5th Ive. Today's NYT Connections puzzle is especially fun if you like movies and books. Read on for hints and today's Connections answers. Hints for today's Connections groups. Here are four hints for the groupings in today's Connections puzzle, ranked from the easiest yellow group to the tough and sometimes bizarre purple group. Yellow group hint. Let's come at this another way. Green group hint. Beloved books. Blue group hint, types of films. Purple group hint, I don't want to be here. Answers for today's connections groups. Yellow group, take a different approach. That's it for today. Tomorrow morning, whatever the night brings. Stay curious. Want this every morning? It's free. Set up your own feed at storyflow.com.